Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 354, titled Forward into the Past, Part 3. This is being recorded on April 7th of 2002. We're going to be continuing our discussion from side one of this program, and we're going to be taking a look at some of the deep political connections in and around some of the events surrounding September 11th, and we're going to be taking a look in particular at some of the historical links apparently current links between fascists and Islamo-fascists. And again, this is not to be misunderstood as characterizing Islam as fascist, but rather there is a very profound element within Islam that is and that is associated with world fascism. In side one of the program, in fact, most of side one of the program, we took a look at a very important recent article by Kevin Coogan, author of Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yaki in the Postwar Fascist International. This article was called The Mysterious Ahmed Huber, Friend to Hitler, Allah, and Bin Laden. And this alluded to Ahmed Huber, whom we took a look at in For the Record 335, 336, 338, 340, 341, 342, 343, 344, 352, 351, and other programs in connection with Altaqua Management. I refer interested listeners to the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com and two linked websites by sister station WFMU, which have the virtually the entire For the Record series available on Real Audio. Spitfire also is equipped with Real Audio. Between the printed descriptions and the audio files, all of which are free, there is an abundance of information. Now, turning to the article by Kevin Coogan, there are a couple of points that I want to underscore from footnotes to the article. By the way, Kevin Coogan's article is from Hit List magazine, April and May of 2002. Hit List is a music publication, and the April-May 2002 issue is its most recent. There are a couple of interesting footnotes. First of all, one that further develops the connection between Zacharias Moussaoui and his French lawyer, a woman named Isabelle Couton-Père. Skipping down in the footnotes, Couton-Père is a member of the law firm of Jacques Vergès, the radical French lawyer and longtime Genoux ally whom Genoux had hired to represent Klaus Barbie. We've taken a look at the Vergès-Couton-Père connection in the past. I did not know, or it was not evident from the documentation we've examined, that Couton-Père was actually a member of the law firm of Jacques Vergès, but Vergès is a Genoux and a Genoux protege and a longtime associate of Klaus Barbie and an exponent of the third position that we've looked at in the past. In this same footnote, there's a very interesting point about François Genoux. Genoux's name has also resurfaced in connection with September 11th. Ernest Bakes, B-A-C-K-E-S, a leading European expert on money laundering, told the Luxembourg-based financial journal Plus Minus that he believed that the September 11th terrorist money trail would ultimately lead back to Swiss bank accounts set up by an organization founded by Genoux. Reports of a possible Genoux trail cite the involvement of a Swiss lawyer named Baudin Dunant, D-U-N-A-N-T, on the management committee of the Geneva branch of the Saudi Investment Company, or SECO, which handles much of the Bin Laden family's investments abroad. By the way, the individual in question here is misidentified in this article in a misprint. It's Baudin Dunant, not Baudin Dufour. Béatrice Dufour is, along with Baudin Dunant, the co-chairman of SECO, which handles the European investments for the Bin Laden family. A couple of points to note here. In the March 12, 2002 article about Altaqua, we took a look at allegations that François Genoux helped to set up the Altaqua Bank, which was founded in the late 1980s, to, among other things, fund terrorists such as Carlos the Jackal and also the Bin Laden Organization. We also took a look at a discussion in the Newsweek article from the following week that Altaqua was allegedly involved with Al-Qaeda after September 11th. We took a look in that same article at discussion that allegations that François Genoux had helped to finance the late Ayatollah Khomeini's exile in France, noting some of the connections between the Islamic fundamentalists currently holding sway in Iran and also Holocaust deniers and Ahmed Huber, and Huber has very strong connections to the Iranians. We took a look at the allegation by Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, one of the most important of the fundamentalist imams in Iran, that in fact Muslims rejected the conventional view of the Third Reich by Zionists and Marxists because of the Third Reich's efforts on behalf of Arabs and Muslims. We're going to be taking a look at some more of the connections of Baudin Dunant and the Bin Laden European Organization. Bear in mind, in connection with François Janoux, that there is abundant evidence that Janoux was involved with the post-war disbursement of Nazi funds. There remain disputes about just the precise details of that disbursement, but it's important to understand that all post-World War II Nazi monies were administered in a very tight and precise and ruthless fashion by Martin Bormann, Hitler's deputy and the political successor as head of the Nazi Party, the real organizational genius behind the throne, so to speak, in Nazi Germany and in the Third Reich in its above ground and post-World War II underground phase. Now, noting again Baudin Dunant, again misidentified in that article due to a misprint as Baudin Dufour, we're going to take a look at Osama bin Laden and the connections between Yaslam bin Laden, the manager of the European branch of the family, and Baudin Dunant and Béatrice Dufour. We're going to be taking a look at a very important recent book called In the Name of Osama Bin Laden, subtitled Global Terrorism and the Bin Laden Brotherhood. This book was authored by Roland Jacquard, J-A-C-Q-U-A-R-D. It was published in softcover by the Duke University Press, copyright 2002, the ISBN number 0-8223-2977-8. And of the connection between Baudin Dunant and François Janoux, we read as follows. The projects awarded to the Bin Laden Group are no longer limited to the Saudi Kingdom. In Lebanon, Yahya Bin Laden is involved in the reconstruction of downtown Beirut devastated by the civil war. In London, the group has a branch office, Bin Export. By the way, I would add parenthetically, that office has connections to, among others, or the development of that office to, among others, Mark Thatcher, the son of Margaret Thatcher. Continuing. In Geneva, SECO, the Saudi investment company, is involved in many international deals. This company, established by the Bin Ladens in 1980, is the flagship for the group's activities in Europe. It is headed by Yaslam Bin Laden, and the board of directors is made up almost exclusively of members of the family clan, except for a Swiss citizen, Baudin Dunant, D-U-N-A-N-T. First name, by the way, B-A-U-D-O-I-N. This well-known lawyer from French-speaking Switzerland, who was on the boards of several dozen companies, came to public notice in 1983 when he agreed to represent the Swiss banker François Janoux, a controversial figure who had been a disciple of Hitler and sole heir of Goebbels' copyrights before becoming one of the financiers of the FLN during the Algerian War. The friendships of the Bin Ladens sometimes seem surprising, but they're logical. François Janoux has always been pro-Arab. By the way, and for the record 351, we took a look at allegations that Saeed Ramadan, the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, an institution that we're going to come back to later in this side, that Saeed Ramadan specifically relocated to Geneva in order to liaise with François Janoux. More about François Janoux, or about Baudin Dunant, who represented François Janoux in 1983 against charges of involvement in terrorism. We're going to turn now to an article that appeared in the Sunday Herald. That's a British publication. This appeared in the Sunday Herald of May 31st of 2002. You can visit their website at www.sundayherald.com. And the full web address will be published in the printed description of For the Record 354, which will appear on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com in the For the Record section. This article is by Neil McKay. It's titled Family Ties, The Bin Ladens. Subtitled, They Insist They've Turned Their Backs on the Wayward Osama, But Can We Trust Them? And again, this is from the British Sunday Herald of May 31st of 2002. Now, of Baudin Dunant and the Saudi investment company, we read, By the 1980s, the Bin Laden Group was representing foreign companies in Saudi Arabia, ranging from Audi and Porsche to the UK's Hunting Surveys Limited. By the way, Osama Bin Laden was allegedly working in Sudan for Hunting Surveys, which subcontracts to manufacture roughly a fifth of the West's Trident missiles. And as we've looked at in numerous broadcasts discussing the Borman Flight Capital Organization, that's the post-war underground economic component of the underground Reich. We took a look at the fact that all of the major German corporations are controlled by the Bormann Organization, and it seems highly unlikely that the Bin Laden Group would be able to represent two of the major German motor companies, Audi and Porsche, in the Middle East without the approval of the Bormann Organization. Now, about SICO, again, abbreviated capital S-I-C-O, actually all in capitals, the Saudi investment company in Geneva, the main pivot point, the main element in the powerful Bin Laden family's European operations. We read, in London, the Bin Laden Group took over Everett Holdings, but most of its international activities were routed through the Geneva offices of the Saudi investment company, which was set up in May of 1980. The Saudi investment company is chaired by Béatrice Dufour, of Iranian origin and sister-in-law of one of the Bin Laden brothers, Yaslam. By the way, Yaslam is the fellow who runs SICO. In 1983, her co-chairman, Baudin Dunant, represented Swiss banker François Genoux, who has helped finance Arab extremists in Algeria and was on trial for participation in international terrorism. Now, again, note that the SICO, the Geneva branches of the Saudi investment company, were set up in May of 1980. Note that the Iranian-born or of Iranian extraction Béatrice Dufour, sister-in-law of Osama's brother Yaslam, is the co-chairman of the board of directors, and her co-chairman, Baudin Dunant, represented François Genoux. More about SICO, the Bin Laden European operation, turning again to the book In the Name of Osama Bin Laden. Through its financial investments, the activities of the Bin Laden Group extend well beyond what is publicly known. As a purely family enterprise without external or institutional shareholders, the group is very discreet about its investments and its policy of diversification. In light of its privileged relations with the king, no one has taken the risk of expressing unhealthy curiosity. Bin Laden contracts are never awarded in cabinet meetings or through a public bidding process. They are negotiated directly with the royal house and its head chamberlain, Ali bin Musalem. The Bin Ladens, who dislike media exposure, often withdraw without warning from financial or commercial projects when their partners are too talkative. The Bin Laden Group and its subsidiaries never advertise in the press, and it's impossible for an analyst to gain advance knowledge of its strategy. One motivation for this secretive strategy is that some of the group's enterprises have served as intermediaries in official arms contracts between Riyadh and the Western powers. Now, a couple of things to note in this regard. First of all, the same type of privately held, non-transparent organization, and the Bin Ladens are incredibly wealthy and powerful, is precisely the type of operation that the Bormann organization loves to work with for obvious reasons. Note also the fact that there have apparently been quite a few arms contracts between the Riyadh, namely the capital of Saudi Arabia, and the Western powers. And we're going to take a look at Salem bin Laden, who was represented by James R. Bath, and his alleged involvement in some of these machinations a little bit later in the broadcast. Before discussing Salem bin Laden and some of the interesting Iran-Contra connections to the European Bin Laden Group and to the Bin Laden family, we're going to take a look at another interesting connection between Al-Qaeda and the milieu of François Genoux through the aforementioned, on side one, that is, Wadi Haddad of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. We reviewed discussion of the connection between Wadi Haddad and Francois Janoux from the Kevin Coogan Hit List article about Ahmed Huber. We've discussed the PFLP, George Habash, Wadi Haddad, Janoux connection in numerous broadcasts, including For the Record 333 and For the Record 350. We're going to turn now once again to the book In the Name of Osama Bin Laden, and we're going to read. And indeed, one of the suspects, actually it was For the Record 350 that we reviewed the Wadi Haddad connection, beginning again. In the Name of Osama Bin Laden is the book from by Roland Jacquard that we looked at before. And we're going to take a look now at the explosive specialist and an operational leader of the al-Qaeda network that blew up the USS Cole, and Wadi Haddad. Turning once again to the Roland Jacquard text. And indeed, one of the suspects in the attack against the Cole confessed to Yemeni investigators that he had been trained in Bosnia and Afghanistan by the Bin Laden organization. Another suspect, Fadal Kuoso, admitted receiving money from the same network. He was supposed to film the attack for later use as propaganda. The operational leader of the network, Mohammed Omara Harazi, is an explosive specialist. And in a footnote to that passage, Roland Jacquard adds, according to the Yemeni secret services, his real name is Abdul Rahman Hussein Mohammed al-Safani. He is said to have been in contact to get advice with veterans of the network of Wadi Haddad, one of the PLO hardliners at the time of Black September. Wadi Haddad recruited Carlos, see Roland Jacquard and Dominique Nasplez, Carlos Le Dossier Secret. And again, Wadi Haddad and Carlos, both protégés of François Janoux and in contact with Janoux up until his death in 1996. Now, we're going to turn to the book once again, In the Name of Osama Bin Laden, and we're going to take a look at some interesting discussion of Salem Bin Laden. Now, Salem Bin Laden is a person that we've spoken about in the past. Salem Bin Laden was represented in the United States by James R. Bath, whom we've looked at in the past in connection with the book Fortunate Son by the late J.H. Hatfield. James R. Bath put forth some of the capital to finance Arbusto Energy. He was alleged by associates to have been recruited into the CIA by the elder George Bush, was heavily involved with the manipulation of aircraft for interesting purposes. He became a jet aircraft broker, and he was also the North American business representative for the Bin Laden family and for Khalid bin Mahfouz, who has also been alleged to have connections to al-Taqwa. We took a look at that in For the Record 353. Reviewing again from the book The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush by Pete Bruton, published in hardcover by Shapolsky Books and copyrighted 1992, ISBN number 1-56171-203-5, of James R. Bath, we read, it was at the Air National Guard that Bath met George W. Bush. They became good friends, but according to Bush, never did any business together. However, records filed in a lawsuit in Houston involving Bath contradict the president's son. They show Bath was an investor in a Bush oil and gas enterprise. That, as we've looked at in the past, was Arbusto Energy. People who knew Bath at the time said he didn't have much money of his own and have theorized that money came from Bath's Saudi clients. Skipping down in the Bruton text, several months after Bath and Taylor started Jim Bath and Associates, Bath got a huge break. He was named as a trustee for Sheikh Salem bin Laden of Saudi Arabia, a member of the family that owns the largest construction company in the Middle East. Bath's job was to handle all of bin Laden's North American investments and operations. Now, turning to the book In the Name of Osama bin Laden of Salem bin Laden, we read, Bin Laden's son Salem was also very close to the king, parenthetically of Saudi Arabia, and it is likely that he rendered significant services to the monarchy, in particular by carrying out secret missions. According to several witnesses, his mysterious death is evidence of this. In 1988, a BAC-111 plane piloted by Salem crashed in Texas. His death gives rise to speculations about the exact role he played for King Fahd and the Saudi government in secret operations in the Middle East and Central America. For instance, there was an indication from American sources that Salem bin Laden was connected to a secret meeting between Iranian and American emissaries in Paris in October of 1980. Some felt that his death was not an accident. By the way, some have disputed that he was at the controls of a BAC-111. Others have said that it was a small private plane. But what's of real significance here is not only the James R. Bath, Salem bin Laden, George W. Bush connection, but the allegation here that Salem bin Laden may very well have been one of the intermediaries in the meeting between the Iranian Islamic fundamentalists who were holding the U.S. hostages and the Americans in 1980. This was not only what has come to be popularly known as the October Surprise, but it also is the genesis of the Iran-Contra affair. And bearing in mind the allegation that we looked at in the March 12, 2002 article, that François Janoux had helped to finance Khomeini's exile in Paris before he came to power in Iran, also noting the profound Iranian connections of Ahmed Huber, and also noting the Iranian extraction of Béatrice Dufour, who along with Janoux attorney Baudin Dunant is the co-chairman of the board of SECO, the bin Laden family's Geneva-based European operations. Note also that Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, it was reported by Ahmed Huber, to have basically voiced sympathy for the Third Reich from a Muslim standpoint. Note also that Iran, under the fundamentalists, has become a haven for Holocaust deniers. Now, another alleged Iran-Contra connection to the board of directors of SECO. This deals with something that we looked at in some of the supplements to For the Record program number 334 and also in For the Record 338, namely the Shikarchi AG case or Shikarchi AG case. Shikarchi AG or Shikarchi AG was a company in Geneva that was apparently involved in drug trafficking and aspects of the Iran-Contra affair. One of the names that emerged in connection with that was Avni Yasser Musalulu, and we've also taken a look at the fact that that was an alleged alias for Oral Çelik, one of the Turkish Grey Wolves involved with the shooting of the Pope. Turning to more discussion, this from the Herald article of 3/31/2002. The board of directors included members of the Shikarchi family, linked to a money laundering scandal and drug trafficking in Zurich. A member of the Shikarchi family was also a director of the SECO office in London. There have been allegations that the Zurich company was a CIA front used to finance Afghan resistance, in which bin Laden was a prime mover during the Soviet occupation of that country. Yes, Salem bin Laden continues to maintain relations with the Shikarchis. And more about Shikarchi AG, reviewing a couple of the interesting details concerning Dr. Hans Kopp and his wife, Magdalena, who is currently presiding over the war crimes trial of Slobodan Milosevic at The Hague. More about the Kopp, Magdalena and Hans Kopp, Shikarchi AG connection is in RFA 38, and listeners can flesh out their understanding in a PBS article, which will be noted in the description for the Record 354. That is copyright 2001, and it's on the PBS website, www.pbs.org. It's called About the Bin Laden Family, and it's an addendum to a PBS Frontline program. We've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood Al-Taqwa Yousef Nada fascist connection in numerous broadcasts, including For the Record 343. We're going to take a look at some more Muslim Brotherhood connections to the bin Laden family, turning again to the book In the Name of Osama bin Laden by Roland Jacquard. In addition to being close to the king, that again is of Saudi Arabia, the bin Ladens were also business and financial mentors to his children, skipping down. The relationship of trust between the two families was resilient despite a few serious crises. The most important of those was the seizure of the Great Mosque in Mecca on November 20, 1979. Skipping down again, at the time of this crisis, one of the bin Laden's sons, Marous, was arrested because of his ties with the Islamists involved in the assault, but was later released. The terrorist had established contact with Marous several years earlier when he was a student in London and when he counted among his friends the son of a southern Yemeni dignitary, the leader of a very active fundamentalist group. Following this university connection, Mahrous bin Laden became involved with a group of Syrian Muslim Brotherhood activists exiled to Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Secret Service investigation ultimately declared Mahrous innocent. And I would note, turning again to the Sunday Herald article from 3/31 of 2002, of Mahrous, he is described here as currently manager of the Saudi bin Laden Group, the family's multi-billion dollar business at its branch in Medina. So apparently his relationship with the power establishment of Saudi Arabia not interfered with from his role in the takeover of the mosque. More about Muslim Brotherhood connections to bin Laden. This from the book Al-Qaeda, Brotherhood of Terror by Paul Williams, recently published in soft cover by Alpha Books, a subsidiary of Pearson. ISBN number 0-02-864352-6, copyright 2002, of Muslim Brotherhood connections to the recruitment of Osama bin Laden to fight in Afghanistan, we read, in 1979, the year Soviet troops invaded Afghanistan, Abdullah Azam, a Palestinian member of the Brotherhood, established a recruiting office called Maktab al-Khidmat, the Office of Services, to recruit young Muslims for the Afghan front. This office, in time, would be transformed into the terrorist group known as Al-Qaeda, the base. One of its young recruits was a Saudi millionaire, Osama bin Laden, a Wahhabist. Bin Laden was enthusiastic about the war effort and agreed to fund the establishment of branches of the Office of Services throughout the world, Europe, and the United States included. And concluding discussion of the Islamist fascist connection, we're going to turn once again to the book Al-Qaeda, Brotherhood of Terror, and review a connection between the first World Trade Center bombing and the Oklahoma City bombing. Speaking of convicted McVeigh co-conspirator Terry Nichols, Nichols, along with Timothy McVeigh, was charged with the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City on April 19, 1995, that killed 168 people and wounded another 600. Some FBI officials now believe that Nichols, who has a mail-order Filipino wife from Cebu, obtained contact with Ramzi Youssef through Muslim students at Southwest College in Weatherford, Oklahoma. The officials further believe that Youssef and Murad provided Nichols with training in making and handling bombs. Without such instruction, Nichols and McVeigh would not have been able to assemble a 5,600-pound bomb made of ammonium nitrate and nitromethane. Several informants recently gave testimony that they met Nichols with Youssef in the Philippines and that the American was affectionately known there as the farmer, unquote. After the Oklahoma bombing, Murad told prison guards that Youssef's Liberation Army, a branch of Al-Qaeda, was responsible for it. He later made the same claim in writing. And for further information about these subjects, check the Spitfire website equipped with real audio at www.spitfirelist.com and two linked websites from sister station WFMU, wfmu.org/Dave Emery, and a longer URL which have the For the Record series available for download on real audio. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record 354, Forward into the Past, Part 3, being recorded on April 7th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.